You know, our veterans do amazing things. They wake up. I can't imagine what a veteran thinks about, especially those who have served in conflicts, what may go through the mind of that person every morning when they wake up, wondering whether or not they would survive that day. I just can't imagine the thoughts that would go through our veterans' minds, the feelings that their hearts have, and I'm sure the longing to be with family. And again, I thank the Lord for these men and women and their willingness. Jesus says there's no greater love than one that is willing to lay down his life for another. Got a video I'm going to let you watch here in just a second about this young man, Daniel Rodriguez. Served two tours in the Middle East, one in Iraq and in 2009 in Afghanistan, where he and his unit were in this small stronghold that they were trying to defend. And the video, if you happen to watch Game Day, they were on. This young man was on Game Day yesterday. Serving and the things that he went through. I want you to just hear just briefly, there's a few seconds of some comments he made, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Daniel and this unit.
I know what they went through. I was there. You know, I could have been buried right next to him. You know, all our tombstones could all say October 3rd on it. I doubt my mind. Knowing that I've felt like I've been given the second chance at life, I don't want to waste it. You know, I don't want to waste the oxygen that somebody died for me to have.
Daniel Rodriguez, you see this picture of him. He is now playing for Clemson University. That clip shows him leading his team out in his number 83. The reason I want to share this with you is Daniel was in this area under constant battle from the Afghan troops. And I'm sure, maybe even more so in a situation such as Daniel's, that the love and camaraderie you have between those other men in your unit becomes very close. And it shares that he's got this PFC, Thompson was his last name, and they became especially close, and they made a pact between the two of them that when they got out of the service or when they came back home, they promised each other they were going to seek after their dreams. Well, the Taliban or the Afghans began to just, hundreds of them, attack their spot, their little area. And 8 of them were killed. And PFC Thompson, the one he was closest to, died in the action. We'll come back to the words that he used a little later, but he remembered the promise that he made to that young man. And he came back and he walked on his dream. This Daniel Rodriguez's dream was to walk on and play college football and then and get a degree. And then, well, he got cleared. He is, I think they say, the only war veteran that's ever gone back to college and played college football. But one thing Daniel couldn't do, he couldn't save the life of those other men. Though while they tried to save life, he couldn't come to the rescue of those other 8 men that day. But I want us to talk just a few minutes about one who does come to our rescue. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verses 6 through 11. Let's see the one who comes to our rescue. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, for you and for me. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Pray with me. Father in heaven, may You open our hearts this day to understand what You are telling us. May we realize what You did for us, what Christ did for us, how He came to our rescue to save us. Lord, we love You and thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a couple of things, three things I want us to notice in this passage of Scripture. The first thing is, we are ungodly. That is a fact. We are ungodly. We need to be saved. God wants us to be saved. And hopefully, we will be. But there's something I want us to notice. We cannot save ourselves. Humanity can't do it. Only Jesus Christ brings salvation. We may attempt to be good. We may attempt perfection. We may seek to fulfill our dreams, but we're going to come up short because we are ungodly. That perfection that we strive for, hopefully we all do, it's not obtainable. It came pretty close, though, yesterday afternoon at 7 o'clock. Georgia drove down the field for some other team. I don't know who they beat. I can't remember their names. That don't mean nothing. What? The first four times they touched the ball, bam, right down the field. Right down the field. And scored four straight times. Only to the fifth time they touched the ball did they have to turn it over. That was pretty close. Pretty good too, wasn't it? Alabama thought to be one of the best teams to be on the field. They got beat yesterday. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Wow. Church. There is nothing, there is no one, no, not one, other than Jesus Christ, sinless. Nothing. We have all come short and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all ungodly. And as ungodly people, as sinners, Christ died for us. Let's think a minute about the significance of the sacrifice that Jesus made so as He could come to our rescue. I want you to think back last week we shared in the Lord's Supper. I like to forget that, but we did share in the Lord's Supper, right? And let's think about that for just a minute. What was going on then? Jesus, as He's gathered His men, His disciples, up into that upper room on the eve of His arrest. It was the time of Passover. And so they were going to share with one another in the Passover ceremony and meal that the Hebrew nation had been celebrating for years. You know about that, don't you? The Exodus, the great Exodus, when God promised through Moses that the people would be freed from Egypt. And He kept sending Moses to speak to the Pharaoh and said to tell him to let my people go, and he wouldn't do it. And plague after plague after plague, and God just kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. And he get to this last and final plague, and he says, tell the Pharaoh, every firstborn will die. Every firstborn. That's not every firstborn child. That's everybody who was a firstborn child was going to die. And not only that, all of the beast firstborn were going to die. But God said to the people, to the Hebrew nation, I'll save you. Here's what you do. You find a perfect lamb. What's a perfect lamb? It was one that was spotless, no blemishes, had to be a year old. You get that lamb and you kill it. And I won't go into all the details, but they had to wait 3 days before they could actually eat the lamb, before they could actually kill the lamb and then eat it. So they're preparing. Here's the deal. Here, let's focus on the lamb itself for just a moment. But after 3 days, you kill the lamb. You eat every bit of it. And there's a reason why you had to wait 3 days, because the lamb had to get rid of everything. Okay? All of its waste, so it would be pure. Then they could kill it, and they had to put it on they had to roast it and eat every bit of it. Every bit of it. And what they didn't eat, they had to get rid of the next morning, but they were to take that lamb and kill it and take that blood. And God said, take that blood and put it on the doorpost around your house. And when the death angel comes that night, if that blood is over the doorpost, you will be passed by and you will live. No one will die. And so they did that. The death angel came, and I can just imagine all of the wailing, the crying, the tears of all these families who lost firstborn. He broke Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, go, get away from me, leave. And so the Exodus began, and they left to eventually come to where God wanted them to reside. And so each year in the springtime, God said to institute the Passover, where they would celebrate their freedom. God had saved them. God came to the rescue of this Hebrew nation. And he used a lamb, the blood of a lamb, to show how strong and mighty of a God he was. Now let's move back forward to Jesus. It's the time of the Passover. It's the spring. He gathers them together as their custom to experience this Passover together. Jesus did something a little bit different. He broke the bread and he shared the wine with his disciples and said, I am the Lamb of God. I will now shed my blood for you. You see, he became that sacrifice, that perfect lamb, whose blood was shed for all of humanity. Jesus, the only perfect lamb, without a blemish, would die for us. The Lord's Supper that we participate in reminds us not that God saved the Hebrew nation from death, but he saved us to life. We are ungodly, and Jesus died for us, and now we have been reconciled unto him. Just like the Hebrew nation found freedom and were reconciled unto God because of the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. We are now reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we make sense of this? For all of humanity? What if God had put boundaries on who could be saved? What if he had told Jesus, you can only save this side of the room? Let's do this side of the room. What if that's what God had said? What if he had chosen? I don't know about y'all. Listen, there's this guy named Tommy Lopez. 4 months ago, this is a lifeguard in Miami. Some of you might have heard this story. There's this lifeguard company that puts lifeguards on the beach. They're paid to watch this part of the beach. Tommy Lopez was on the last stand near this boundary line. And beyond this spot was a private beach. No lifeguards over here. But on this side of the boundary line, Tommy was the first lifeguard of several that went along the beach. He was lifeguarding one day. They had already had this conversation. He and his fellow lifeguards already had this conversation. What if somebody drowns over there just on the other side of the boundary line? And they already made a decision. If that happens and you're the one on the end, we're still going to try to save them. Well, it happened. He heard the cries of the people. Someone's drowning, someone's drowning, someone's drowning. He came out of his lifeguard stand, ran down the beach, 100 yards at least, into the water, and saved this man's life. You know what happened to Tommy Lopez? He got fired. He got fired because there was a liability that the company said he put out there for them. And he got fired, and he says, look, I had to do what I had to do. I'm a lifeguard. I'm here to save lives. 7 of his co-workers quit that day in solidarity with him. It made no sense. Made no sense at all. What if Jesus had a boundary? What if this is as far as he would go? What if this is just as many people as I'm willing to die for? What if he imposed boundaries? What if God put a limit on his scope of salvation? How would you be sure that you would be saved? How would you know that God, that Jesus would come to your rescue? Because Jesus said, anyone who calls out my name will be saved. Jesus said, I am coming to your rescue. I am coming to save you and you and me. Both sides of the room. Everybody back here. Ain't that great? The whole world. Anybody who cries out his name will be saved. Jesus said, I'm coming to your rescue. We have been talking about promises this whole year. This is the great promise. Salvation for you and me. I don't know if you heard the line that Daniel Rodriguez used just before we cut it off. Go pull it up on YouTube. Hit ESPN Daniel Rodriguez and watch that clip. But the line he said, and then we cut it off, he says this. After he saw his fellow men killed, he found a new purpose. And this statement he wrote, he goes, I don't want to waste the oxygen that somebody died for me to live. Did you hear that? I don't want to waste the oxygen that somebody died for me to have, so that I could live. He recognized that he couldn't waste the rest of his life on anything short of doing his very best. Jesus died for us. We should spend every breath that we have doing the very best that we can, not wasting the oxygen that somebody died for, Jesus, for us to have. He died so we could live. He died so we would have an eternal relationship with our God. It's worth every moment of every day for us to live for Him, since He did save us from death unto life. This morning, we're called to respond to the Passover of the Lamb of God. Jesus spilled His blood for you and I. Do you have the blood of Jesus? It's your doorpost. Is it all over you? I hope so. Jesus hopes so. Our Passover Lamb, our Savior, says to you, I'm coming to your rescue. Will you let me save you? Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for the promise that Jesus Christ gave to us, the promise to save us, to come to our rescue. Father, we thank you for that perfect Lamb, our Savior, who spilled His blood for all of humanity. I pray this morning, God, that you'll prick the hearts of each one of us today. For those who do not know you or have not experienced the blood that you shed, I pray, Father, for a response, that they will allow you to come to their rescue. God, for all of us who are here this morning, who have been rescued by you, but we're not living the life that we should be, that we're wasting the oxygen that you died for so that we could have it. Father, if we are short in our perfection of following your guidance, draw us closer to you. Draw us to a place of recommitment and rededication. Father, if you're calling us for a purpose, let us know what that is. Christ's purpose was to save us. Our purpose is to allow you, Lord, in our hearts and to share you with this world. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.